Let's take our hymn books together, please, and stand as we sing 398. 398, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. 398. Sing on the last verse with me.
Thank you.
Amen. Good singing tonight. We're glad that you're here. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. We're going to have our ushers come at this time. And we're going to take this evening's tithes and offerings. Mr. Baker's going to come lead us with a word of prayer.
As the ushers come, let's remember to be praying for Ray Austin. He's in the hospital for his lungs. Pray for Mrs. Cahill. She had back surgery this past week and just a couple complications with that. So keep Mrs. Cahill in mind. And then Asher Person, that's Marcy Fraser's son, they're not exactly sure what it is, but just having this illness. So let's remember to pray for those. Brother Tanerski, would you pray for us?
Your blessings to us. We pray that you would open our hearts to your words, Lord. And we pray that everything you said done in our Lord, we pray that Father, that the sovereign Savior, we give joyfully after you pray that this is
all right, maybe see it.
Tonight's our Lord's table service, and the Bible talks about how we were to remember the Lord until He comes again. And so I thought it'd be a good time for Daniel to come and play We Shall See Jesus before he goes back to college. So Daniel, would you come and play for us tonight? Thank you. sing together another hymn tonight, number 425, Sweet Beulah Land. Let's stand as we sing 425. Be seated.
Satisfied only
The last of our college students wants you to pray. Grace Bennett moved out this afternoon. Is she on a plane right now? She's already there. All right, so she's already back in Florida. That was a quick trip. Paul McDonald left today as well. And then Daniel, are you leaving tomorrow?
Saturday.
Okay, we have you for another week. Amen. All right, so Wednesday night, he's going to be preaching, singing, doing everything. No. We sure miss them when they're gone, but would you pray for them as they travel? I know that we'd appreciate that, and also pray for them in their studies. All right, let's sing number 429 tonight. 429, when we all get to heaven, let's stand tonight as we sing this last hymn tonight. 429, when we all get to heaven.
Thank you.
Amen. Good sing tonight. You may be seated.
Splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, if that isn't love.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. God has given Brother Dorkson an incredible memory. He sings all those songs from memory. That's incredible. That's amazing. I can't remember that. But he does a great job. I never told him this. 9 years ago, we opened Faith Baptist Church, the new building that we purchased in 2003. So I guess it's been 10 years now. 2004. It was May 1st, 2004. We had a grand opening on May 15th, and Brother Dorkson sang with a whole bunch of other folks. And we had a missionary there, Brother Dorkson. Brother Jim Arnold was there for the grand opening, and he came out that night and came back to my place. He says there was a lot of talent from those churches, but he says, that fella from Simcoe was my favorite. He says he just seemed genuine. That was the word he used. So we appreciate your heart. And I thought that was a nice compliment from a fellow that never met you before. He thought you sang from your heart, and we appreciate that so much. Have you appreciated Brother Dorkson over all these years? You know, I remember coming when I was just a little guy and hearing him sing, and what a blessing. I appreciate, more than the singing, I appreciate the faithfulness, and praise the Lord for it. And I can say that about so many tonight, but thank you, Brother Dorkson. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We have been studying on Wednesday nights the book of Galatians, and so I ran out of Wednesdays. We're starting our new teen program this week, and I want to be a help to that for several weeks before I come back. Brother McDonald's going to be preaching every Wednesday night for the next 6 or 7 weeks, and we're looking forward to that. I think I'm slipping in one of those. He's on a vacation time, so I'll be slipping in for one of those Wednesday nights. But while we were going through the book of Galatians, I just ran out of time, and I didn't want to take 6 weeks off and come back to it. We'd lose where we were. So last Sunday morning, we preach, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it's a promise from God that we reap what we sow. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so tonight we're going to finish the book of Galatians with Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And I was going to do it last Sunday night, but I felt it was so much more appropriate for our Lord's table service when the Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now, if you remember the context of the book of Galatians, you'll remember that Judaizers had come in. Now, Judaizers were people that were trying to convert people back to their own religion. And they were saying, well, it's okay to follow Jesus Christ, but you also must follow the law. And the big emphasis they used was circumcision. And so Paul goes on to say to the church of Galatia, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." We might say it this way today. Whether you're baptized or not, if you're not saved, you just got wet. That might be how we put it today. Baptism doesn't save you. Circumcision didn't save them. The works of the law doesn't save you. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm not going to glory in myself. If I were to say, well, I was of the stock of Benjamin, he tells us in another book. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day, and I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and a Sadducee of the Sadducees. And he talked about all the accomplishments he had, but he can't brag on any of them because it was the cross that saved him. And so tonight, let's take a few moments and let's glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we'll remember the work of Calvary as we come to our Lord's table tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, already for how you've blessed our hearts and encouraged us tonight through music and song. We pray that you bless us now as we gather around the Lord's table. We pray that you would encourage our hearts with the memories and the thoughts of what Christ has done for us. And a few minutes prior to that, Lord, we're going to spend some time in your word. And we ask, Lord, that tonight that the word of God would be effectual, that it would pierce right to our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to picture Calvary once again, so that when we come to the Lord's table, we'll know exactly what it is we're thankful for. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that to the church of Galatia, and he said this to the church at Ephesus, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We have nothing to glory in our salvation. We did nothing except a free gift. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure everybody here has received a gift at some time or another. You received a gift at your birthday or a gift at Christmas. I just heard that this week that Mr. Nelson had a birthday. No, is he not here tonight? Well, I'll tell you why he's not here. Do you know what he got for his birthday? A motorcycle. He said his wife didn't even know about it, but she bought him a motorcycle, amen? And so I guess that's where he might be tonight, I don't know. But it's nice to get those gifts, isn't it? But when you get a gift, you don't have to do a thing. You can't glory in it, you didn't create it, you didn't make it, you didn't pay for it, you didn't labor for it. There's nothing to glory about it, and the gift of salvation is nothing that we should glory in. We are to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. So tonight, I'm more than preaching, I'm just going to give you some thoughts and some scripture to help us, first of all, consider the cross. But then I want you to consider the Christ of the cross. And then I want you to consider the cost. And those three things we're going to focus on for the next few minutes. And instead of an invitation tonight, we'll just go into the Lord's table. The Bible says, let every man examine himself. What better invitation than to lay our hearts bare before God? And to spend some time before Him in prayer and ask Him to make sure that we are in the right state and the right attitude and the right obedience and all the things the Bible says we should be doing in order to rightfully take in the rightful manner. So tonight, consider the cross. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Turn to John chapter 19, if you will. John chapter 19, I'm going to read a rather long passage, but I just want you to, tonight, if it helps you, you don't even have to follow along if you would like, just to sit and listen. I want you to consider the cross. As the scripture gives it, there's a picture on the screen. It's not very bright tonight, but you can see Christ hanging on the cross. If it helps you tonight, you can look at the picture while I'm reading. The Bible says in John chapter 19, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. It means they beat him and whipped him with a coat of cat of nine tails. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head.
And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." What a lie. Jesus did not make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and the two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest to the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' And saith he to the disciples, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, or saith, 'I thirst.' Now there was a set of vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross, on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And they saw it and bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, 'A bone of him shall not be broken.' And again another scripture saith, 'They shall look on him whom they pierced.'" The Bible goes on to say in other passages, if you'll bear with me for a moment, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came to and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. The book of Philippians records it this way, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. The world says the cross doesn't matter. The scripture says I'm reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. I want you tonight to consider the cross. Consider what these preachers over thousands of years, this first quote comes from a preacher from 300 AD. As they were looking on, so we too gaze on his wounds as he hangs. We see his blood as he dies. We see the price offered by the Redeemer. Touch the scars of his resurrection. He bows his head as if to kiss you. His heart is made bare open as it were in love to you. His arms are extended that he may embrace you. His whole body is displayed for your redemption. Ponder how great these things are. Let all this be rightly weighed in your mind as he was once fixed to the cross in every part of his body for you, so you may now be fixed in every part of your soul. The cross is a one-time visual representation of God's grief over sin. Consider the cross. At the heart of the story stands the cross of Christ, where evil did its worst and met its match. Boy, I like that one. Consider the cross. Another said this, "There is no man that goeth to heaven, but he must go by the cross." The cross is the standing waymark which all they that go to glory must pass by. We must not forget that it wasn't the Jews that put him on the cross, and it wasn't the Romans. It was my sins. It was your sins. The sins of this world. It was Christ who willingly went to the cross, and it was our sins that took him there. May I give you one more quote? How could God remain equally faithful to his love for us and his just judgment of our sins? The glory of the cross, it's unimaginable. Wisdom lies in the way God has devised to provide salvation for his people. The old songwriter said, "I must go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this." We were talking this morning about the fundamentals of our faith, just very briefly. One of our fundamentals is you must be saved by faith through grace in the Christ that died on that cross. That's where you must place your faith. There's no other way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus chose to give his life on a cross to pay the price for our sins. Tonight, I would like you to consider the cross. Secondly, I want you to consider the Christ. The Apostle Paul exalts us in our text tonight to glory. He says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle exalts us to glory in the cross, but not just any cross. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did a little bit of research and I found that the Romans crucified over 10,000 people. That's just what's recorded. They crucified over 10,000 people, and history says it's likely many thousand more. Other cultures use the same method. The Medes and the Persians were known to crucify. There's others that would crucify their criminals and crucify victims of torture and other such atrocities over the years. And so there was others. And so likely it is thousands upon thousands of people that are crucified, but we don't lift up any other cross. As a matter of fact, I wonder tonight if you could name anybody else that was crucified. Tradition says that maybe the Apostle Peter was crucified. Perhaps. But can anybody here name another person that died by crucifixion? See, we don't just glory in any cross. What made the cross special is who hung on it. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. So tonight I'd like you to take a moment and consider Jesus Christ. It's not the cross that we remember at the Lord's table. It was the Christ that was hanging on the cross that we'll remember tonight. It was the death of Jesus Christ. It was the blood that was shed. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." The Bible also says this later on in the book of Hebrews, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We are told not only to consider the cross, but to consider the Christ of the cross. Christ begs us to do this tonight in remembrance of him. You know, to be honest with you, I wish we could forget the cross. It was just a cruel torturer's rack. But we must glory in the cross tonight because of how Jesus died. Of how he went through that agony and that pain for us. You know, we're not called at the Lord's table tonight to remember the miracles. That's not what we're called to remember. Now, knowing Christ's miracles, it sure comforts us when we need one. We're not called tonight to remember that he was the great physician, that he could heal. Although that's sure a comfort to know, isn't it? How many of you are glad to know he's a great physician when you get sick? We're not called tonight or asked tonight to remember that Jesus calmed the sea, but that's good to know when we're in a storm. We're not called tonight to remember his meekness. As a matter of fact, the world would mock that. We're not here tonight to remember that he turned water to wine, although that was the first proof of his deity on earth. We're not here tonight to remember his compassion, although we are glad that we experienced it. We are here tonight to remember his death. It's a memorial service. We're here to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, we should be grateful and give him praise tonight for all that he has done, everything. But do you know this? Somebody can get saved without ever hearing about the water turning to wine. Somebody can get saved without ever hearing about Lazarus coming forth out of a grave. Somebody can get saved without knowing that he went to that widow of Nain and raised her son from the dead. Somebody can get saved tonight without knowing very much about Jesus at all, but they cannot get saved without knowing the Savior. You cannot get saved without believing that he shed his blood and that was sufficient enough to pay the price for your sins. So tonight I want to encourage you, don't just consider the cross, I want you to consider the Christ of the cross. You may have never experienced his healing, but you sure better experience his salvation. Would you consider what Christ has done for you? I want to direct your attention back to our scripture tonight in the book of Galatians. We consider the cross, we consider the Christ, but I want you to consider the cost. Galatians chapter 6. You say, well, preacher, we know what the cost is. Jesus died. I'm not talking about the cost of our salvation. We talk about the gift of God being a free gift, and it cost Jesus his life. We should never forget that. What I'm talking is about tonight is there is a cost to us after we're saved. And look what the Bible says, and be careful not to miss it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says now. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We're living in a fast food society. We're living in an age where they want to blend the world with the church. Well, you got to make it relevant. One of the very first verses I read tonight, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Listen, don't let a foolish world tell you how to run the church. We don't need their music. And that's not to say I like powerful music. I like soul-stirring music. I like music that gets me excited for the preaching. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but we don't need the world in here. Pastor Sam Davidson, one of the preachers that used to come and preach while I was in college, and I've had the blessing to hear him a few times since in Faithway and such, and he tells the story of a doctor that came to his church. He sat about the third row. And he tried to win that doctor, and the doctor wouldn't get saved. The doctor was an emergency room doctor. And he finally, he just flat out asked him, if you know Brother Davidson, he can sometimes just get a little blunt. And he just said to him finally, he says, why do you keep coming? He says, we preach the gospel all the time. And he says, I've talked to you about the Lord. And he says, not that I don't want you to come, but I'm just curious, why do you keep coming? You don't accept the message. He says, let me make something very clear. He says, I don't agree with about anything you say from up there. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? He says, I work in an emergency room. And he says, every night, he says, there's drunks coming in. And every night, there's drug overdoses. And every night, there's people that have been in a car wreck, and we find out they've been drunk driving, and there's people that are being carried in from bars, and people that have, he says, I come here every week because it's so different in here than it is out there. If that's not an excuse to keep the world out of the church, I don't know what is. Here was a man that admittedly said, I don't believe the gospel, but I sure like the peace in here rather than out in that world. So I come every week, and I hear the music, and I meet the people. Wow, a testimony from an unsaved man. But we need to consider the cost. Look what the Bible says. When we're thinking about our cost, he says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul is saying, salvation cost me something. Now don't get me wrong, it wasn't anything he didn't gladly give up. But he says, the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to them too. They don't want anything to do with me, by the way. I'm crucified to them too. We used to sing a chorus. We don't hear it very often anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The place I used to go, I don't go there anymore. What about the things you used to sniff? The things we used to listen to? Are we new creatures? Paul says, I want you to consider the cross. I want you to glory in the cross of Christ. And because of the cross of Christ, I've decided this. I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. I'm going to change. There's an old song. I don't remember where it's from. I remember singing it years ago in church. And the chorus says, does he still feel the nails every time I sin? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? If I'm causing him pain, then I know I better change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him. Can you look at Calvary? Can you look at the cross? Can you look at the Christ and stay the same? If you can, our hearts are hard. There's something wrong. We have no spiritual pulse. Oh God, revive us just by looking at the cross and looking at the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. I'm going to ask our men to gather at the front. As we approach the Lord's table, I would encourage you, would you take a fresh look at Jesus Christ tonight? Would you examine your hearts and make sure that we are taking in a worthy manner? Would to God that it would provoke us to separate ourselves from the world that we might walk godly in Christ Jesus. God help us. We'll leave you to prayer.